My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
They've turned things around and hope to be playing deep into October. But tonight, they fall to the Astros 6-0 as Holiday flies out to Myers in center. 9 straight wins on the road for the Astros with the 24-year-old right-hander Spencer Arrighetti picking up his 6th win of the season.
9 straight on the road. 9 times they've won on the road, the Astros have. That was the Fox team on the call last night. I had no idea that was a nationally televised game last night. That it was going to be. Once I was watching it, I realized.
What time was the start time? I got ambushed.
6.
Yeah.
6. East Coast, Seth.
It's out of my ordinary routine, Sean.
Yeah.
I can only control
so much. The suits at Fox, I have no sway with them.
So yeah. I got a text around the second inning about something that had happened. And I'm like, oh, what is this? What are you talking about? Yesterday stuff?
Amy and I were out to eat, and the establishment that we were at Eugene's eating last night, and they had the TV over the bar, and it was on Space City. It's like 6:15, and I'm like, I think this game's starting. I don't know why this is. It's on like Astros bases loaded or Rockets fun summer or whatever it is. And then they flipped it over to Fox. I'm like, Thursday night baseball. Okay. We haven't had a Thursday game in a while with the Astros because they've had a little time off on Thursdays. But as you heard, they win last night 6-0. The Mariners didn't play yesterday, which is probably good for them. They were busy firing their manager yesterday.
Who found out about it on social media.
Yeah,
way to go, Mariners. Class organization right there.
We'll get to that in a second. But because the Astros won, the Mariners didn't play, I ask you, Houston, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? The Astros are now at a season-high 5.5-game lead in the AL West. They're boat racing this thing now, man. They're putting this thing away.
It's almost starting to feel like the old days again.
Dude, they got a manager fired in a pennant race.
Right, right. Yeah.
That's a nice accomplishment.
This is the whole, yet another, count the Mariners as another team that aren't happy about a 162-game season.
That's
right. The Yankees,
right.
The Mariners, all these other teams that wilt.
They wilt in
the August heat.
They wish there was COVID.
Yeah.
So it would only be a 60-game season.
Yeah, they're out there. It's like, oh, can I get a damn variant up in here? What the hell? What the hell's going on?
Man. That was like a super
strain my ass.
That was like a bonus win last night almost. Man, Spencer Arrighetti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little, I'm still a little on edge about a rookie pitching into August and September. But you got Arrighetti, the rookie, going against Corbin Burns, Cy Young winner. And that's almost, I think it's Spillane who tweeted this last night. He's like, man, you get Arrighetti, going out there and throwing, what, six or seven shutout innings, whatever it is he threw, and you knock Corbin Burns out of the game, you win that game. If you're looking at this series going into it, even as much success as the Astros have had on the road of late, they've now won nine straight on the road, you still look at that game and go, okay, well, it's we're looking at this series, you know, a four-game sweep is a lot to ask for. If we're going to lose a game or two, you know, I think you take a split against the Orioles, probably, really good baseball team. That's probably one of the ones we lose. Arrighetti versus Burns. And now you win that game. You conserve your bullpen a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was 6-0, so you didn't have to bring in any of the leverage guys.
Right.
And I think it was Spillane who tweeted it last night. I thought it was a great point. It's like, man, this is almost like winning two games.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the dynamics of how it all played out.
Did you worry about a Mariners bump, interim manager bump? With Scott Service gone?
I don't worry about it, but that's obviously the goal. You're worried about it?
I worry that he's just such a miserable old man that maybe there's a lightning of mood or something in the clubhouse and that they take off.
Five and a half's a lot to make up on a team that's playing as well as the Astros right now. That's a big lead.
Get cocky, Sean. 5.5 ain't much.
It's just math. It's just math. Yeah. Let me go check FanGraphs to see if I'm being cocky or if I'm being a math nerd.
Ben Gabel Day yesterday. You know, like we've had various days that have sparked good stretches. Right. Well, Victor Caratini Day. Remember, they went on a good run after Victor.
No. You're thinking of Cesar Salazar
for sure. Yeah. I mean, they went on a run after that. But I think Victor Caratini had I dubbed one day a Victor Caratini Day. I can't remember what the reason was.
I remember we declared one a Cesar Salazar.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then after that, I also declared a Victor Caratini Day. And we went on a run after that, too. So Ben Gabel Day might be it. Went from like, who the hell's Ben Gabel, to like, ooh, nice hit, Ben Gabel.
Yeah, way to go. Way to go, dude. I didn't even know he existed until like 24 hours ago. So the Astros win 6-0 last night. That was good. Get this here. The Orioles have yet to beat them this year. As good as the Orioles are, I mean, the Astros sweat. That was where the season turned around for me. Like, as you do kind of you look back and you go, okay, how did we get here? How do we get from being in the doldrums to being 5.5 games up? To me, the season turned on that first game of the Orioles series back in late June when the Astros went out and scored, I think, like 9 runs in the 6th or 7th inning of that game, and they didn't hit any home runs. You know, up until that point, when the Astros were winning games, because they weren't winning many games back then, they were winning games because they'd hit 3-run bombs or they'd hit a few home runs. They weren't stringing hits together. That to me, like if I'm isolating it to a single point on the schedule, that Orioles game on Friday, because they had just come off that White Sox series where they won a couple games against the White Sox, and it was like, all right, well, now the Orioles come to town, and we'll see, they're stepping up in weight class. And I just kept getting push notifications on my phone. I remember double after double after they hit like 5 or 6 doubles in one inning. And that was, to me, where I'm like, okay, well, this is the Astros team that we've come to know and love. And they sweep the Orioles, and now the Orioles are still trying to get their first win against the Astros.
When you were miming, checking something off on the box, you reached way out. Was that to get my attention?
No.
I was afraid you thought I was lost on a text line or something.
I was
really stretched for it.
I was pointing at a point in time, in space.
You'd be a fantastic mime.
Mimes are weird, dude.
It's so weird that they ever. I can't imagine they were ever really a thing.
There was a show one time. There was a full-on show on back when we only had 4 channels, kids. Yeah. There was a show called Shields and Yarnell. Uh-huh. There was a married couple that were mimes, and the whole show was mime bits.
They were always so annoying. You know what probably killed mimes? These dancers that can make it look like they're floating and everything.
Yeah.
It all started with Michael Jackson. It all started with the moonwalk. Where you're like, well, this doesn't look like something that a human can normally do. Right. And now you got these kids that look like they're floating as they're running and everything, like all this stuff. There's no way a mime can keep up with that crap. Like, oh, I'm pulling a rope.
Right. Yeah. Get away from me.
This kid's over here floating on a rope.
Painted
it doesn't face look anything.
Freak.
Yeah.
Get away from me. No tips
French
for
weirdo.
You. Stop holding your bucket in front of me with 5 ones in it. I'm
seemed
not
a particularly
you.
French thing.
Mimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Because they always have berets on, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had this conversation.
Thanks. So, Victor Caratini took a couple in the face mask yesterday, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's aggressive play by him.
Mm-hmm.
He's crowding the plate.
Where are you on Alex Bregman possibly playing first base for this baseball?
Well, you know what, honestly,
that got reported by Chandler Roan that he might get some reps at first base.
I was kind of surprised by the immediate and vociferous negativity towards this, like as if it was a clown move or something. I don't, man, I Yeah, is he your ideal first baseman? No, but who has been at first base this year? Was it Jose Abreu? Is it Yiner Diaz? He of the no split step? No, nobody's been an ideal first baseman. So, right, okay, Alex Bregman is 5'3" with short, stumpy legs. Is that ideal for first base? No, but he's a really good hitter, and if you got to get him in the lineup while not sucking up the DH spot and keeping it away from other guys who could be there, it's not. It's an imperfect solution, but it might be the best solution right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? Like they've been dealt a very strange hand with the lineup. You know, just with Tucker's injury lingering for as long as it has, and this Bregman thing out of nowhere now, and. I'll say this, and the Astros winning all these games lately kind of dull the pain of some of the things. Like,
right.
Like
yeah, the Tucker, they had to do this, and then there was
and they were 5.5 scuttling. Back.
Yeah.
Like so Tucker being out for as long as he has, like that's a big deal. He was in the top five for the MVP odds when he went out, but they've been winning baseball games, so you don't think about it very much. Alex Bregman not playing third base defensively for this team is a big problem when you get to September and October. That's a huge problem. He is an elite defensive third baseman.
Yeah.
We take for granted a lot of the things he does over there.
And I think, honestly, that's where... Because I heard somebody yesterday say, well, hey, that's not the reason you're going to lose a series in the playoffs or something. And I'm not so sure about that. Especially, you know, if you talk about Whitcomb versus Bregman at third... One or two errors there. This stuff adds up, man.
It's absolutely.
That's like saying that your best hitter slumping through the playoffs isn't going to lose you a series. Hell yes, it will.
That's right.
So, I mean, one of the reasons the Astros pitching is so good is because they also have one of the top three fielding units in the league.
Yeah.
So
they're worse without Bregman at
third base. Right. But I mean, it is what it is, and you got to accept reality sometimes. If you can't trust him to make throws to first routinely, you got to pull a little bit of a Bagwell on him. He'll be like late stage Bagwell. Now Bagwell couldn't even throw to second late in his career.
Oh, his shoulder was a mess,
right? Yeah. But if what happens is that he agitates his elbow with throwing and you can't figure out when or why, then just reduce the number of throws and the velocity with which he needs to make them.
Yeah.
And I'm not like, and again, if we're going from Yuli at first. To all of a sudden Bregman, I'd be like, oh, crap.
But we're
already taking a situation where we haven't had good fielding at first base all year long. There are guys that are Yiner might be more suited to it, but he's still, you know, he's the throw the other night from Altuve that was high.
Yeah.
You know, Bregman probably makes that play.
Maybe,
You know, like, I mean, he's still got the obstacle of height. So he would have caught the ball, but maybe could have gotten his foot down quicker.
Yeah.
It's just, so I look at it as a net, in terms of what you get out of fielding at first base, it's probably a positive. I mean, some of the line drives.
Oh, compared to who the other guys
are. Yeah, odd bounces.
Yeah.
You get those odd bounces at first base.
Yeah.
I think that Bregman. I also think this.
You made me think of Abreu just now. When Abreu would get anything other than a true hop to him.
And he thought he was a hockey goalie all of a sudden. Like, just put it down.
Like someone threw a grenade at him or something.
Good stop on that. I think that this is one thing I think with Bregman. You never know. Because Bregman's a guy who's like always in his head, you know, in a good way, because he can do it. But you wonder if maybe the challenge of playing first base would be something that allows him to be a little bit more unconscious at the plate.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And that just because he's got to focus on that he just gets up at bat and maybe doesn't over. And I'm not accusing him of always overthinking, but he's just sometimes guys that are so meticulous sometimes. They get in their head a little bit.
Yeah.
And you get these long droughts that he's had.
Yeah.
So maybe you end up getting a ridiculously awesome stretch of hitting out of him.
Man, it's going to be fun to watch this play out. And I'd rather you just play third base and be healthy, but it's going to be Joe Espada, man. He's been dealt a very strange hand at the poker
this
table.
I think you're exactly right. If they had to do this in week three of the season, people would have looked at it like Espada's a clown. Yeah. What the hell? Now he's got enough. He's got enough collateral built up that, like, all right, I'm cool. I was surprised that, I understand other teams saying, oh, they're screwed or whatever, but, like, I was surprised that so many Astros fans were down on it.
All right, let's get to Texans practice yesterday. The Rams were in town. What are some of the highlights that we saw yesterday? And Seth Payne had himself, like, almost like a little fantasy camp yesterday, walking around Texans practice. You got to meet up with some old friends.
Yeah.
It's, you got to meet up with some old friends. So we're going to touch on some of the things that you may have.
Okay.
May have.
I don't know why there's something about you calling it a fantasy camp. Today.
Because I got jealous getting the text from you. Like, oh, he talked to Fred Taylor. He talked to Les Snead.
Yeah, you talked
to a lot of people that regular people would want to talk to.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
You, sometimes you don't realize you have a really cool thing
going. I forget that I get to do stuff.
Yeah.
That's fantasy camp. Yeah.
That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A really good day. All three phases, we got a lot of work in. We set out to accomplish, right, working a lot of situational football, and we were able to do that. Thought it was a clean practice on both sides. A lot of competitive juices flowing on both sides as well. So it was really good work. Happy that we were able to get that work in today.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans. Joint practice yesterday with the Rams. That's the thing about a joint practice, man. There's so much stuff to go watch.
Because you got the defense
for the Texans going against the Rams offense on this field and vice versa going on over here.
Yeah.
Which side do you pick more when you go to a practice like that?
Yesterday I ended up watching the offense more. Partly because it seemed like the Rams' offense wasn't working with the same tempo as the Texans' offense. Like, there were more plays being reeled off on the offensive side of the ball, it seemed, than on the defense. But it's funny. It's the way it worked out for me. There was a stretch where every time I looked over to the defensive side, Kamari Lassiter was breaking up a pass.
Yeah, he had a big day yesterday.
He was really dialed in and doing a really good job. The young defensive backs for the Texans, who elicited some praise from Sean McVay, we'll play here in a second. Kalen Bullock showed his ranginess. There was a PBU on a tight end. There was another, he had an interception where Lassiter had disrupted a 50-50 ball. Yeah. And there was Kalen Bullock. Like, Kalen Bullock's ranginess is going to be fun. As long as he can be trusted as a rookie and that, you know, he's out there not making that many rookie mistakes so they can put him on the field, I think they're going to want him out there as much as possible because he's a turnover waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, or a big hit waiting to happen. Do not mistake his skinniness for a lack of at least aspirational physicality.
Yeah.
I don't know how hard he can really hit in the NFL, but I know he can arrive on the spot with great velocity, and he's not afraid to lower his shoulder. So there's some potentially really nice collisions coming this year.
It is interesting when you, and we'll hear from McVay here in a second, as Seth pointed out. Actually, let's hear from him right now. Here's Sean McVay Los Angeles Rams coach, very impressed with the Texans' young defensive backs.
I thought they did a really good job. I've been super impressed with Stingley from when he was coming out, and then you watch the production that he had last year, and I thought Petrie was all over the place. You know, Jimmy Ward is a guy that I've always respected because of the athleticism, the position flex, and what he enables them to be able to do as a safety or a guy that can drop down and, you know, play coverage on receivers or tight ends. But I thought, you know, Petrie's a guy that you can see. He's really good. I felt them today, and, you know, they did a great job. And then obviously having, you know, two special guys coming off the edge makes a major difference.
Okay, a couple things. First, I like hearing an opposing coach say good things about Jalen Petrie.
Yeah.
Petrie seems to be one of those guys that even when our eyes tell us one thing, that D'Amico Ryan still stays very positive about him. And that's fine. They're doing that with Damian Pierce right now. We'll see how that plays out over the next couple of days. Game tomorrow at noon. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 610 with the Rams and the Texans. But the other thing I think of, Seth, is we always talk about the rookie contract with the quarterback and what that allows you to do. Because the difference between what CJ is making now, $9 million versus what he's going to be making in a couple years, $60 million.
Right.
That allows you to do a lot of things. I think there's like micro versions of that around the roster too. And if you look at this secondary, Stingley's probably going to get paid here in the next year or two. But you got Jalen Petrie still with 2 years left on his rookie deal. And now you've got two rookies in Lassiter and Bullock that both look like future starters for you. And you've got them for 4 years on cheapo deals.
You know, and this is a thing, too, where it's,
it doesn't look too big for them right now.
Well, and it's I like that they were, you know, I was thinking about the Rams themselves as a organization. And, you know, forever they had that reputation of screw them picks.
Yeah.
And people thought, like, they don't have any picks. They actually had quite a few picks. They just did, they were in the mid rounds and they didn't have first round picks. They traded away a bunch of those, but they nailed a lot of their mid round picks, in second and third round picks. So that's where the bread and butter, you look at most really good teams in the NFL these days. They've done really well in the second through seventh rounds.
You have to.
Lassiter would be the ultimate in that regard. In that, look, the Texans didn't have a first round pick this year. We've grown quite used to that over these last several years.
They opted to move out of the first round.
But can you nail those second through seventh round picks? Lassiter is a guy that, look, a lot of cornerback is one of those positions where the elite traits are so coveted that the guys that get drafted high tend to be, you know, physical freaks, right?
Stingley.
Yeah, and it's also one of those positions kind of like edge rusher where you don't find as many elite guys or really, really good guys outside of the first round. But I think that this is what I would like about Lassiter if he continues to show this promise. It's that it feels like a Ravens draft pick. Like
yeah,
the Ravens take so many guys that don't test well, but are just football players. They did it with Kyle Hamilton. They did it back in the day with Terrell Suggs. You know, Terrell Suggs set an NCAA record for sacks. Oh, but he ran a slow 40. Ravens get him, you know.
Have you been following this Wiggins kid they drafted from Clemson with the 30th pick?
Yeah.
Is lighting it up at camp.
So,
right
like,
now.
That's where, man, okay, draft a football player and get him at a bargain because he runs a 4.640.
That's Lassiter.
And yet we're seeing less and less where that 40 time actually matters. And that's what's encouraging to me, and especially if Bullock obviously works out. I mean, I'm still Blake Fisher. Just he needs to grow and develop. But I'm like, he's a second round pick, so that's where he gets drafted because people know that he needs some development. But I've liked his growth so far.
Yeah.
I don't feel he's ready for action the way that Bullock and Lassiter are.
Though. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. There's not one point in camp where I've looked at Kamari Lassiter and said, well, that guy looks slow.
Right.
There were the
first couple days, there were a couple times. So I was kind of waiting and see. And then, and with hindsight, you're looking at it and you're realizing, like, he needed a little bit of time to adjust to NFL route running, I think, because he's got really good anticipation.
His instincts.
And so when he can't, when that anticipation isn't really dialed in just yet, then yeah, you could see where he didn't necessarily have the catch up speed. But you don't, ideally, the guy doesn't have to use his catch-up speed all that often.
All right, I'm going to let you take the offensive line here. As a former defensive lineman, what did you see? I was listening to The Drive yesterday, and Clint Sterner made it sound like CJ is going to get destroyed when week one rolls around.
This is where I think I disagree with some people and how the day went. I think there's some people that thought it was a resounding victory for the Texans. This is how scrimmages go, of course. Usually, I don't know. I don't ever remember a high school scrimmage where we didn't feel like we won the scrimmage.
There's no scoreboard.
So your bias, the other team didn't. The only time was when we went up against this guy, this team that was perennial state champs. We had like 18 kids on our football team, you know? So we played both ways.
Didn't win that day.
We had 18 kids and only like six actually good football players. So us six played every snap. Right. And we lined up in our defense and would go against, it was Fairport, go against their offense. And they would rotate through their platoons of their first team offense, their second team offense, their third team offense, and it was just us on defense, the same guys out there on defense.
How tired were you?
I've never been so tired in my life. I never wanted to quit high school and go back and work on the farm so much. I was like, this is the worst. This is the worst beating I've ever taken. But I think the offense had some really nice plays, but if you factor in the plays that the Rams made in the backfield or would have made in the backfield, I don't think you can. Let me cue this up a little bit, Ben. Let me get a little Bobby Brown in my life.
What?
Yes, because Bobby Brown, the nose tackle for the Rams, I mean, potentially multiple sacks on the day. That was his prerogative, Sean. My prerogative, the Texans' offensive line at times was like, let Bobby Brown get that Whitney Houston in his life.
Dude.
Give them whatever substances they want. Let's do it. You know what the offense? You know what? I blame the Texans offensive line for getting Whitney Houston hooked on cocaine. That's because they were going.
Way to go,
They were propping up Bobby Brown. He was all over the place.
Oh, my God. The lyrics to My Prerogative are very much like someone who is just
he didn't give a damn.
Having his day in the back. Yeah. Don't give a damn. Gonna live my life.
Yeah, that's
right. It's the way that I want to live. I can do just what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
No one can tell me what to do.
No. That's
sure as hell ain't Kenyon Green.
Bobby Brown was, I was like, man, I thought Aaron Donald retired. Oh, no, that's Bobby Brown.
That's Bobby Brown.
The third.
You want to know the idiot that you host with right here?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you know what? I want to go find out Bobby Brown's background. You know, the football player from yesterday. So I just Google Bobby Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And obviously everything coming up is Bobby Brown, the singer. I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have put Rams in or something.
If they put the Texans in the NFC West, he'll be more household names.
That's true. He'll pass him. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is what happened yesterday, though, too, was Laremy Tunsil played, like, the first couple team periods, and then he came out.
Yeah.
And they had Sharp in there at left tackle at one point. Yeah. They had Kendrick Green at left guard. Titus Howard didn't go the whole practice. I think that was by design. I think the product was worse than what you'll see in an actual game. But Kenyon Green got beat pretty bad one time. Laremy Tunsil didn't look Laremy Tunsil's going to get beat here and there, but I think he's still working his way into regular season shape.
Yeah.
So I'm not panicking about the offensive line, but I'm like, they need to get better. I understand why they might not play on Saturday, tomorrow, but there's part of me that's like, no, you guys got to get your crap together and you need to get out there. You know, these other guys who are starters, like they've shown enough.
They've
you guys need to get it together. You need some time. You need some time in this system.
Bobby Brown and Aggie, of course, he's another one.
The singer?
That would be something.
Yeah.
Fourth round pick. Yeah, it's not just like the second and third. Like Kyron Williams was a fifth round pick. He had 1,300 yards rushing last year. Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, that's right.
It was crazy. I saw a video of CJ walking up to Cooper Kupp at practice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, go find Puka, man. If you're going to start recruiting wide receivers, go get the young guy.
I saw one with him dapping up Puka.
He was?
At some point.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
right. Okay.
I thought, unless I'm, maybe I dreamed that. But also, Sean McVay was walking with CJ chatting.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that. Get to that. He was giving a little advice. So you got to talk to some old friends yesterday.
I saw Les Snead, who was a scout, one of the members of the scouting staff that drafted me back in the day. And then I had some more interactions with him in my career. But, it was cool because I talked to him about a few things, but also just, like, the way the work environment has changed in the NFL. Like, he said the biggest difference is for one, because I started talking about sleep. I saw he was wearing one of those Aura rings. Yeah. So we were talking about sleep in general, because he was always a guy kind of like Sean McVay that would, he'd wake up at 3 a.m. and be like, well, might as well go to work, you know. And, you know, now he forces himself to stay in bed. But he said the biggest difference is that guys, like, there's still an extreme work culture, but in the old days, it used to be a lot of, man, coaches would get in, and they would sit around, they'd waste so much time. Like, he might walk into a position coach's office at some point, and he's playing solitaire on his computer or whatever. They're just sitting around BSing, telling old stories. Part of that was because you had to wait for time for the film to get processed.
Oh, okay. Right, well, now there it's was a lag time.
Yeah, yeah, like, you'd have to wait for the film to get all...
developed.
They're dubbing this stuff on Betamax. That's literally true. It was beta, not VHS.
Yeah.
Better quality. And, it, like, so there was a lot of wasted time, to where now teams are just way more efficient. So they get in, they like work their butts off, but they don't have to sit around waiting as much and BSing. But it was cool. And he sat and he chatted for a while. I was like, hey, man, you got to get back to work.
Did any of our listeners heckle him?
No. Oh, that's right. That's right. I had asked any of our listeners if they recognized Les Snead, to give him a hard time about the fact that he took me, when I visited Jacksonville before the draft, he took me to a cheap taco place instead of a nice dinner. And I was like,
did you bring that up with him?
Yeah, I was like, you know, my co-host mentioned you probably had like $100 allowance for it and you just pocketed the rest. He's like, oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really? Yeah. Love that.
I don't know if he's joking or not, but that's
that's funny.
No, I told him just so in case he get harassed. Oh, you know what? He said he was going to listen to the show today, but I never sent him a link to the. I should send him to YouTube. That'll be easier.
Yeah. Let's get Les Snead on board.
Yeah, and then
Fred Taylor. You ran into.
I ran into Fred Taylor. I talked to Fred Taylor a little bit about Dameon Pierce.
What'd he say?
Because he hadn't really watched Dameon in the preseason at all yet. But you know,
fellow Florida
Fred
guy.
Fred Taylor went to Florida. Yeah. Dameon went to Florida. Obviously, Fred Taylor knows Dameon Pierce and likes him a lot. So we kind of. We were talking about just running backs, and sometimes when you get in your head in a game and you're starting to think instead of, and Fred was talking about how, you know, back when he practiced, he was very meticulous, and we were talking about how sometimes guys that are really meticulous in practice and you're trying to really refine things, you don't practice nearly as well as when you go to the game and you just let it go. And Fred ended up having to leave to go get their interview with Tank Dell set up. But I think where he was headed with it is, you know, that, you know, maybe Dameon just needs to really he's got to let go in the games. And he's just got to just let the game come to him.
Because
it looks like he's thinking his way through out there. What I wonder is if maybe, especially because he's uncomfortable in the outside zone, that it flows into everything else. So that even when they're running the non-outside zone plays, he's just still in his head. He's thinking everything through.
Yeah. Yeah, it almost sounds like Damien's the opposite of Fred Taylor.
Right.
He
let
it rip
now,
in practice.
Now,
yeah, yeah.
In a much more simplified offensive system in 2022, I think he was just letting it rip.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as I'm watching the Rams, you know, the Rams aren't an outside zone running team anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are a much better fit for Dameon Pierce. I just because of that, and because these things happen where guys have time to chat with each other from both teams, and the Texans have had a couple of Rams related. They one trade for Skronik. They brought in Cam Akers is a better fit here now.
Yeah.
Because the Texans are an outside zone team.
Right.
He wasn't a fit with the Rams anymore. I would not be surprised or blown away if all of a sudden there was a Dameon Pierce trade to the Rams.
Oh.
Just because of proximity and fit.
Okay, let's get to headlines. Astros, they win last night. 9 straight road wins. We'll get to that. They got somebody fired yesterday as well. We'll get more Texans. And the Thursday night football game last night, super important for the Houston Texans. We'll get to that and a whole lot more in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get into it. The Astros beat the Orioles last night. Let's get this, Seth.
Do it, Sean. We can do it.
6-0.
Didn't you hear D'Amico yesterday? You're not allowed to complain about the heat, okay? It's like 73 in here right
now.
It's a little toasty.
Burning
so we're not going to complain.
68.
We'll talk about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
6-0. The Astros win yesterday. Spencer Arrighetti. So what did he get? 6 or 7 shutout innings? He went into the seventh. I know that.
It was Spencer Arrighetti who has fully come into manhood, I think. The whenever he flipped that switch and started pitching more aggressively and with more emotion,
dude,
there is more and more like Lance. It's just too easy to make the comparison in your mind to Lance McCullers because of the long hair.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
And he kind of almost celebrates the same way.
He looks like someone playing Lance McCullers in a biopic about the 2020 Astros.
Yeah. So it's been so much fun to watch his. I would almost call it an evolution through this year, but it's happened too quickly.
Ascension.
He's evolved the way bacteria evolve, you know?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
We're on the fifth generation of Spencer Arrighetti right now.
Yes, so we had Spencer Arrighetti last night. I'm looking it up right now.
It's okay.
Yeah, he had six innings on the nose. So he pitched six innings, three hits, one walk, six strikeouts. He was super efficient, man. Yeah, it's crazy. As well as Hunter Brown and Spencer. Hunter Brown for a much longer time now, but Spencer Arrighetti lately, he's been nails since the All-Star break. His ERA, he just got under five last night. These guys were so bad at the beginning of the year.
I like it almost. There's not enough time left in the season for either Hunter Brown or Spencer Arrighetti to get their ERA down to where they've actually pitched for the majority of the season. But I kind of like that because then come playoffs, you get a little bit of that. A
little complacency.
You see the other fans are like, who's this Spencer Arrighetti with his 4.5 ERA? Remember with Christian Javier, it was that way.
Yeah.
Christian Javier, good luck. And meanwhile, he had a 2.1 ERA.
Yep.
Javier hadn't had enough innings pitched to be on the leaderboard for everything.
Yep.
So he's one of the best pitchers in the league that year. Just nobody knew who he was.
Yep.
Let's ambush these mofos.
Well, if you're one of those gamblers that all you're doing when you're gambling and I was just glancing at the ERAs of the starting pitchers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Arrighetti's been destroying you lately.
Yeah.
He's been killing you lately.
Yeah, we should. There's a lot of fan bases. The Orioles right now are probably. We just got destroyed by a guy with a five ERA.
And long hair.
Yeah.
What the hell? The Astros are up 5.5 now on the Mariners. They got Scott Servais fired yesterday.
Yeah.
Boy,
that's a
lot of joy right there.
They threw right at his head, didn't they?
That's a lot.
They did everything Scott Servais likes to believe the Astros are doing to his team. His former team, sorry.
Right. My favorite Scott Servais moment was him bringing in Robbie Ray to pitch to Yordan Alvarez with two men on.
It's a heady move.
Up two in game one of the ALDS 2 years ago.
Then to try to close it on a Tuesday. Alvarez launches deep right field. And this one is gone. And the Astros walk him off in game one. Yordan Alvarez, are you kidding me?
Chills. Ooh, I got chills. Love him so much.
So the Mariners are a team that, as recently as, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, I was still thinking
digit
of them.
Lead
they're
division.
They're just constantly right there at the cusp. Right there at the cusp of breaking through.
Yeah.
They're going to do it with somebody besides Scott Servais.
Interim dude is going to come in and try to catch the Astros. They're 5.5 back now. Let's get to the Texans. D'Amico Ryans and the Texans practicing against Sean McVay and the Rams yesterday. They'll play an actual preseason football game tomorrow. Festivities get kicked off here on the station at 9 a.m. with me and Seth doing Texans Countdown. Kickoff is at noon. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the biggest benefit of their joint practice that the two teams had yesterday.
The biggest benefit of this is we get to go against a different team, right? Different schemes, all three phases, and just see different players. We have our matches where we go one-on-ones or whatever it may be, but it's always the same receivers, same corners. So now our guys get the opportunity to get as many reps as possible against a different player, right? And to see, how they run routes, right? To see how they come off the ball as a D-line and how we need to protect. So it's really beneficial in that regard.
It is. Look, it's not great for stoking preseason game excitement because these combined practices are replacing the preseason game. But you just get so many more reps in so many more critical situations. You can do 2 minute. You can do you go into a preseason game and you never know exactly how many what types of plays guys are
you might
get.
Not get. They're practicing yesterday, 23-21 Rams with a minute and change to go.
Yeah,
and you may never get that situation for your ones in a game. You may never get that in a
and
game.
And what D'Amico is talking about there with when you practice against the same team over and over again. It gets to be almost, there's too many stalemates because the other guy's tells and tendencies and he knows yours and you just start playing to boring football. when you go against another team like this, especially for as many reps, you get some of your blind spots exposed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think both for the evaluators, but then also for the players themselves, you realize, like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this move still works. Or, oh, boy, I got blasted.
I
got
to work on
because the guy I work against every day doesn't necessarily have that tool in his toolkit.
That's right.
So, it also, my one big impression in watching the practice with the Rams is I like that. I think the Rams have the same kind of vibe in terms of very high energy, lots of enthusiasm and everything. Everything's very crisp. There's you can tell a lot from some of the combined practices about the overall culture of a team. Mm-hmm. The Rams have a pretty good culture year in and year out. I'm saying that, like, obviously they have a good culture.
Sure.
I can remember in 2005 when we were going on to be 2-14. I think it was in 2005. We had a combined practice against the Raiders. It was one of those years, and I just remember watching the Raiders walk in, and like all their assistant coaches looked like they were retired mob bosses.
You've said that before.
Fat, bad skin. Alan Davis is coming over on his walker in a black jacket in 98 degree weather and everything. And I, you know, we weren't so hot ourselves, and I just looked around. I was like, this isn't the NFL. I was out there yesterday. I was like, this is the NFL. This is what it's supposed to be like.
These are two well-run franchises right now. Yeah.
Tyler Higbee wasn't out there because he's on the PUP. That's what I was curious about. Tyler
Higbee. Jimmy Ward didn't get to chase him around. Yeah,
Jimmy Ward has personally sent him off the field like three times in his career.
Funny.
So I feel like, but once I knew Tyler Higbee wasn't going to be out there, I figured, all right, we might be safe here. I feel like that's the one guy that Jimmy Ward might have gone a little loco on. Otherwise, it was pretty clean. When I was there, because we got there a little bit late.
Yep.
I missed two things. I missed any potential skirmishes, and I missed J.J. Watt.
Yeah, JJ was there early. Huh?
Yeah,
he wasn't there when we got there.
He said his kid, you know, is in that heat. It gets kind of miserable.
His kid
right
is
here.
Gigantic. I saw the pictures of him holding Koa. Oh my God!
You're gigantic.
That's him talking about my head on a Zoom, JJ Watt. But yes, he's Pendergast head size is what Koa is.
Is he going to be the new Knox Bregman? We're going to get shots of him running the hoop and doing pass rush drills.
What do you think?
Hey, real quick on the YouTube stream, if you guys can see this.
Yeah.
Who the hell is this bobblehead? Is this Tyler?
I think it might be.
Is it Tyler?
It looks like Tyler. It looks like Tyler. He'd definitely be wearing some hipster sunglasses like that. All right, now
it's either Tyler or it's Trevor Bauer.
Yeah. One or the other.
I'll do a different motion for that.
Hey, real quick, just because we teased it in headlines, we'll get to it in a little bit more later. Colts Bengals last night. No idea what the final score was, but the only thing that matters, Anthony Richardson, a little shaky.
Yeah.
Pick six.
Oh, boy, you know the thing is, Anthony, he comes out and he looks like, you know what he looks like? He looks like Randy Damn Johnson because he rifles it, but he's got this three-quarter arm. Yeah. I would almost call it a 5/8 arm delivery consistently. And it's cool because he just throws it. He rifles it with a flick of a wrist. But sometimes he rifles it into defenders for pick sixes.
Yeah,
sometimes he's rifling it in the wrong to the wrong receiver, like he did in the first preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's scary in that I don't think he's ready yet to be a full, like a genuine veteran NFL quarterback. But on any given Sunday, he might just eviscerate like a young Michael Vick.
Yeah,
where Vick before Vick had really figured it out. Like, I mean, like he might be awful. But then the next game, great. How do we defend a 78-yard quarterback touchdown?
Yeah,
run?
It's not a recipe to win a division, but if you're a team in their division, you're nervous that you're going to catch one or two of those days you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which they did last year against him.
It's like you're carrying a finicky hand grenade.
Yep.
You're just not sure exactly where it's going to go off.
Our baseball talk in this segment is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. What are the biggest roster questions heading into tomorrow's game against the Rams? What are we keeping our eye on for all four quarters tomorrow? We'll give you the list. You can jot it down and bring it in with you to the game tomorrow. We'll do that coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.